everybody, and welcome to a new Farming Simulator podcast. Today, we are once more two people only because Lars is not here. I am Shaki, aka Chris, the community coordinator, and with me is the ever lovely, my favorite frog, and my coworker from the United States, Kermit. Say hello, Kermit.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Well, how are you? It was very exciting. We were super busy, and that is why we kind of couldn't do a podcast in the past few weeks.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do one. I only got to do one when I was announced, and back then I was still saying, I was referring to Giants as I was an employee, like I was saying them, and now I say we all the time, so you and Lars.
It's a bit of a transition, yeah, it's great. To be fair, still for some of my old companies, I still go we. Despite not having been there in years, it's weird. But yeah, we got a few things in store for today. No idea how long this is going to be. You know how we do this by now. We do this, you know, at the seat of our pants, one take only. So whatever happens, happens.
That's how it goes. It's going to be fun. We do have a lot to talk about. That's the nice thing about not having a podcast for a while. And we've had two conventions where we've shown off stuff for Farming Simulator 22. So yeah, yes. We've got plenty to cover today, which is good.
It's so cool. Like, we had FarmCon, which was amazing. We had Gamescom, which, well, it wasn't as spectacular as FarmCon because we only did, like, a stream for it and had a bit of a hands-on event and press event here in the studio. But, yeah. Still, it was cool, like, seeing all the stuff we put out and how people were excited for it. So, yeah, what do you have any highlight for that?
For what was both? Your... Oh, man. Well, for FarmCon...
I mean, for either.
For FarmCon, if I had to pick a highlight, other than getting to do the bale stacking challenge commentary with Lars, which was a lot of fun at the very end of FarmCon, I was excited to see some news about production chains. And for me at FarmCon, you know, I was still rather new and still am overall, but... When I joined, the FarmCon planning was pretty much in its later stages. We were only like a couple of weeks from it airing. And so I didn't really get to take part in a lot of the preparation of the content. So I was still feeling like a fan of Farming Simulator, even though I was working for Giants as I was moderating chat, which was a pretty wild job to do. And it was pretty crazy in there. But I was trying my best because I was learning stuff at the same time that the community was during FarmCon.
I didn't really have a job, huh?
Yeah, I didn't have any prior knowledge about it. So like seeing Elm Creek and the production chains, and then Lars was, you know, hyping up the sound improvements. And I was like, okay, but what are they really going to be like? And yeah, they were impressive. So those are some of my FarmCon highlights. As far as Gamescom, it was awesome to see like the grape harvesting. And then when Kenny and Lars showed like the difference that the ground has when it has like, they had liquid fertilizer, I think it was, on the ground and the sun was hitting it and you could see like the little like shine, the soil looked different on that part where they had run the fertilizer over it compared to what was next to it. I thought that was really cool as well. And also, we're going to talk about it in a bit, but man, that name of the French map, that's fun to say.
Yeah, for the longest time, I thought it was pronounced like, of course, I thought, oh, I know that Haute is pronounced like Ote or something, I thought, but apparently it's just O.
So, yeah, O Belleron. It's so fun to say.
O Belleron. And on last Saturday, when we had a lot of influencers in the house, and some of them were French, so of course we asked them, how do you pronounce this properly? They were like, O Belleron. So the thing is, the second E, you don't really emphasize that like at all. It is still there, but you don't really... You know, talk about
right.
it. But so that was basically one of my fun highlights from Gamescom. Right. I had the boon here. We invited influencers into the office for an exclusive hands-on, which was super fun because these are always super fun. Like we had people from Germany invited. We had people from the UK invited, from France invited. Unfortunately, from America as well. One very big...
right.
YouTuber streamer who is basically a human megaphone
everyone already knows who we're talking about. We don't even have to say the name, I feel like.
Right. The thing is, unfortunately, not all of them could come, which I think is a real shame. I mean, I understand it with a lot of waves, like getting a flight from the US on comparatively short notice with COVID and everything is hard. Yes. So not blaming. I mean, there were even talks of getting you into the office, which right. I would have loved.
There was a conversation in the Discord server yesterday, and someone said, why didn't I get an invite? And I was like, listen, I didn't even get to go, okay? So you shouldn't be too upset. COVID is just an unfortunate thing that we have to learn to deal with. And so it's put a damper on what, you know, would normally happen. So we've had to improvise, but it's good that, you know, the event was still successful. And people should realize that with me in the U.S., we're going to do everything we can to start, you know, getting this side of the pond involved as well. Yeah. So
you have an office, you will have hands on things running in that office as right. well. Like it's 100%. This is something that should happen over there. It's just now a question of when.
Right.
And the thing is, this when will take at least a year, I'm pretty sure.
Right. It's down the road. And I mean, it's difficult to be able to get me equipment even and things like that. Luckily, the laptop was already here. And so I've at least
got that.
How long
did it take for that laptop to come over?
It was already here, I guess. And Eleni had it when she was in this role previously. And then she shipped it to Nicholas, who's the only other U.S. employee besides me. He's in customer support. So he had it basically and was holding it. And then when I was hired, he shipped it to me. And I got it within like the first week I was working. So luckily it was here already. But yeah, that's another problem. Not only can people not travel back and forth, but shipping stuff back and forth is also an issue at times.
It's a huge headache.
Right. Well, what about you, though? What's your Gamescom and FarmCon highlights?
Yeah, so the influencer event, of course. We had lots of fun seeing people record everything. But like, if we talk about the content that everyone could see, the sound presentation, not even the presentation itself, the Q&A. So I jumped around a lot with the Q&A sessions that we had on Discord, and having Chris and Niels doing their Q&A was amazing, because people, of course, wanted to know a lot about sound, and Chris and Niels put a lot of energy into it, and so did the people. And I think it was the last Q&A that we even did.
Right.
And it was really, really cool. So, coincidentally, Niels is also the person who is going to edit this podcast episode. So, hey, Niels.
I know.
Make my voice sound really cool, please. Now that I buttered your belly here, as we say.
it's wild how you don't really, like, sound isn't the first thing that people think about, even when it comes to like TV, movies.
Yes.
But it's one of the most, if not arguably the most important thing to like set atmosphere and tone. And in our case, in our game, add a bit of extra realism to how the vehicles sound. So it's going to just add to the atmosphere even more so, because not only will you be able to see the equipment, but you're going to be able to hear it as it should be now. So that is definitely a game changer in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people already noticed that we have a new stat in the fact sheets called weight.
Right.
And people were like, now, what is this for? And there were a few good guesses. But did you know, for example, that one of the reasons why we have this in is that sound needs it?
Really? Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. So maybe if you're pulling too much weight, you're going to hear a sound or something like that.
Yeah, because the RPM turn up.
Right. Basically. So that's a good point. Yeah, I never even realized that. Like, I know that there was a snapshot that someone caught of like the trailer fill limit. So I think people's first guess was like, okay, well, again, it goes back to that thing. You're not thinking about sound when you think of things like this. So you're thinking, oh, it's purely just from like a physics standpoint. But it's interesting to hear you say it also has something to do with the sound. So that's really
cool. Yeah, and like when I mention it, and you're going like, duh, right.
Right, yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Because sound is physics. in a way. It's just in a video game, we need to, you know, we need to cheat. We need to tricks. We can't, like, physically simulate sound wave. Maybe we can. Maybe that is technically possible. I actually don't know. However, I think for making a video game, you kind of, you know, would be a little bit like, in German, we have this phrase, shooting sparrows with a cannon.
I love it. Where did that come from?
I have no idea, probably because some mad marine guy was doing things. But it basically means you're doing way too much for very little.
Gotcha. Well, I would like to add in, too, because I know that a lot of people were asking this, and it's proof that community feedback is heard and can make a difference. Because after the sound improvements were shown in this new sound tool that I can't remember the official name of at this moment. But
Giant Software sound tool.
There you go. But modders were like, Software. Can we do this? Will we have access to this? And we went around as community coordinators. That's our job. And then, yeah, it turns out it is going to be made available to modders somewhere around.
Yeah, you kind of need it to
release.
Make the sound happen now.
Right. So it's really cool to see that, because I know that, like, we've done a lot with it. And then it'll have even more of an impact. And I'm curious to see what modders are going to do with it, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. A lot of people are like, can I just use my mods from FS19 and FS22? Where we need to say, you won't be able to just use them because a lot of things changed, among them the sound now. So I don't know what exactly would happen, but for example, you can imagine that you just copy-paste a mod over to FS22 that you used in FS19, and suddenly you're a machine that just doesn't have any sound. Because the sound doesn't have the right markers or whatever. I'm not a sound engineer. What do I know about sound? I know how to make sounds.
Right.
But yeah, this tool will be available for modders, of course. Just like a few things needed for making mods in FS22. But that's like future stuff. We can't yet... I can't even say yet what will be in modding documentation or when this is going to be available.
Right.
Because we're still having to polish the game, etc. And then, you know, sit down and write the documentation.
Right. Just rest assured we'll get it out at some point. But yeah, it's just one of those things. It's definitely busy times here at the moment. I'm definitely settling in and starting to have like more and more to do and... starting to feel how, you know, busy it can get. There's just been a lot going on, and of course with Gamescom last week, it was a pretty wild week to say the least. We've got more good stuff going on though. Something else that people have been asking for a lot: Fact Sheet Friday,
which started on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we threw people off. Someone said,
"How did that happen? Why did we do this again?"
Someone said, "I missed Fact Sheet Friday in Discord yesterday." And I said, "Yeah, we missed it so much that we put it out on a Wednesday. That's how bad we missed it." So yeah, Fact Sheet Friday is back, and you can expect those to be happening pretty regularly between now and release. And you'll get all that sweet information about machines. And
Did I tell you why we started it on a Wednesday?
No, I'm curious to know though.
Well... that's pretty easy. We looked at all the machines that we wanted to present during Fact Sheet Friday. By the way, this is not going to be all the about 400 machines that are going to be in FS22. We would have needed to start Fact Sheet Friday like 3 years ago for that. Well, no, that's way overdone. Probably like half a year ago. And we looked at all the machines that we wanted to present. That's mostly new machines that'll come to FS22. And new, and then basically said, okay, we need to do sets of four, which are we going to combine, blah, blah, blah. And then we went through it, and basically we went, we would have needed to start last week with this.
I kind of figured that's what it was. Not enough Fridays left.
The thing is, last week we couldn't have started with it because it was Gamescom. And we wanted to focus on the Gamescom stream, etc. That's kind of an important event that we... Like, communications and informations-wise, we didn't want to, like, we wanted the community to focus on that. So a big deal in doing community management and marketing is, of course, strategically placing when you release and what information when. So yeah, that was fun. And then the week before, we put out the gameplay trailer and the information about the new map and the season pass information, which we're going to talk a little bit about later on.
Right. Lots of stuff to talk about still.
Speaking of new map, did you have a chance yet to check out Elm Creek?
Yes.
And how do you like it? What's like your first impression? As an American. not enough trucks.
Yeah. I quite like it so far. I know that I maybe am putting someone under pressure here by saying this, but the U.S. community is confused why there's no space in Elm Creek, but I digress. That's just a whole other story together. But other than that, actually checking the map out, I quite enjoy it. And I think that it's a rather good representation. I mean, of course, you can't expect it to be like a one-to-one representation. It is like a fictional setting inspired by the Midwest, but as our
the Midwest
designers,
is pretty huge.
Yeah. So, you know, I play a lot of maps too, our maps and modded maps as well, that they take inspiration off of an area, but they also take like a larger area and combine it into one. So it's definitely, I think, a good representation, and it feels American. It feels right with the setting and the mood and how it looks. So I think that is a good move in that direction, because Ravenport was something I wasn't really used to as what I envision when I think of American farms. So I think that this map, Elm Creek, is a move in that direction more so. So yeah, I quite like it so far without giving anything away. you'll have to check it out for yourself and make your own opinion once you can play it too. So
did you find the maze?
Yes, I did. I did find the maze.
Okay, let's just leave it at that. Very good. Let's just then let the community figure the rest out. They'll see you soon enough. They see soon enough. And Pelerin?
Yeah, that one I've not spent as much time exploring, but
I have. Not American enough.
But that's not why. but for me, I started with Elm Creek for obvious reasons, and then I'm also looking at Ellengrat and working on it a bit for an unannounced project. So another hint, wink, wink.
A thing.
Nudge, nudge. So for those reasons, it's like I started my own save on Elm Creek and I'm on Erlengrat for this project. So unfortunately for me, Belleron has been rather ignored. But I have been on it briefly. And of course, we got to see it during Gamescom as well, during the gameplay presentation. And it looks a beautiful map. I mean, you got a lot of cool stuff in there that Kenny and Lars were showing off during the Gamescom presentation. And we heard that there's collectibles back during that, which is cool.
On all the three maps in the base game are
right,
collectibles.
Right, and I have found some on Elm Creek. But for Haut Belleron, I've even said it wrong now. I forgot how to say it. Haut Belleron.
Haut Belleron. Think of Oberon.
There you go. it's so fun to say, but yeah, I quite like the look of it, but I admittedly need to spend more time on it. So, but I think that we've got a great variety of maps that people can choose from now at the beginning of the release, and they can say, okay, I'm going to start on this one or that one. But me personally, when the game comes out, I'll be trying out all three of them and doing, you know, maybe different things on each one that makes sense regionally.
I think personally, I'm going to get stuck on Oberon purely because it is a river map. And I'm a sucker for any kind of map that has a large river.
Right. You grew up on a river, didn't you?
So. I grew up on a river. So, yeah, and sometimes in a river. living in a flood zone does that to you.
I laugh thinking you were making a joke, but you were actually talking about a flood, so now I feel horrible. So
no, it's fine. That is that's how I deal with trauma, you know. It's very much a trauma reaction here. My house. But yeah, I'm really a sucker for maps with big rivers in the middle of them. Erlengrad is nice in that regard, and I love Erlengrad. I think Erlengrad is probably still the most gorgeous map that that FS22 is going to launch with.
Those mountains in the backdrop.
Those mountains.
Just, I mean,
it's,
yeah, it is
the lake
special.
Is beautiful. It's just very pretty. Like if Erlengrad had a river the size of Oberlauron in the middle, then we'd be cooking with gas. Then I'd be absolutely in love with it. I have seen for FS19 a few mod maps that come close to what I really want, but so far no cigar. So yeah, big hopes for Oberlauron for me to be my mainstay map for the launch of FS22. I really dig it. I dig the big river. I dig how it's how it's quartered up, basically.
Right.
Distributed, and how the fields are distributed.
And it has that very unique, like, European charm. Like, when you compare it to Elm Creek, it represents America and Europe really well in my eyes, because in Elm Creek, you get a lot of newer-looking buildings.
Yeah, it has this feeling of, like, these rather new industrial zones that are strewn about the map.
Yeah, but then you go to Oberlauron, and there's a castle that we saw during the Gamescom presentation. You know, there's the gondolas as well. Like, there's the downtown area, if you will, is
we need to put McMansions on Elm Creek.
There you go. So yeah, it's. I think we've done a good job of, you know, creating the settings of both, and there's definitely some variety in there of what each map looks like, which is nice.
Yeah, and as always, I mean, yeah, we say that Oberlauron, for example, is inspired by like the Provence in France. That's the Mediterranean part of France, because yes, France is a Mediterranean country. A few people were like, oh, they announced that the map is Mediterranean, so that only means Italy and Spain. And like, there is more countries that are Mediterranean, because the definition of Mediterranean is that it's a country that's next to the Mediterranean Sea, right?
Yeah, which there's a lot.
Quite a few countries if you open an atlas.
There are some African countries in, too.
Tunisia is, for example. Egypt, very lovely, both of them. Greece, but yeah, I guess the combination of grapes and olives kind of gave it a little bit away. Like, yeah, Italy might be more known for olives than grapes, but I think in the combo together, France would have been a pretty good guess for a lot of people.
Right. And the area that it's inspired by is closer to like the border with Italy, isn't it? So
yes, the Provence borders Italy and Switzerland too, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
It's like, it's right next to it. It's basically, if I'm remembering it right, the Provence encloses Monaco.
Okay.
Because never forget, Monaco is its own country.
Right. It is.
And the Provence basically borders Spain and Italy, if I'm not mistaken here. Please, sorry, people from France. I am barely familiar with the geography of Germany, and I live in Germany. didn't grow up here, though.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think it makes sense too, though. Like, there definitely were a lot of people that were like Italy right away, but I get why they went that direction too.
Yes,
but yeah,
can't blame them for it.
Lots of wine in France as well, and I definitely
Italy
think the grapes and
nice
the olives are cool. Those are going to be cool additions to the game.
A Tuscany map would have been lovely, not gonna lie, but someday maybe.
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah. Anytime I think about Tuscany, I always think about Assassin's Creed 2, which, you know, was set there in the rough area.
Yeah. Man, I haven't thought about that one in a while.
Yeah, it was lovely. That was years ago, you know, PlayStation 3 era. So, But speaking of graphics, a few people noted that the graphics in the gameplay trailer, they didn't like it in particular.
Right.
Well, as always, we gotta say, everything that we're putting out right now is work in progress. Right. Nothing is done, nothing is finalized yet, nothing is done to the point of being unchanging. You already noticed it, for example, with a few YouTubers, we also put out new material. We also have, you know, the hands-on material from Gamescom, which is also out since yesterday when the embargo for those guys fell. Check that newer stuff out and, hey, let us know what exactly it is that you that gives you that feeling that the colors are off, for example, or whichever.
Right, and it's definitely looked different in different videos. And what something that was said about that is that the lighting in the trailer was intentional. The lighting is going to change as the seasons change and the month changes. And I can tell you from my experience that this is definitely a thing. I've experienced it firsthand now. You know, a trailer is great because it gives you a lot in like a small amount of time, but it also has limitations in that we couldn't show everything in the minute and 15 or whatever the trailer was. So keep that in mind, too, that there's going to be, like Chucky said, plenty more stuff out now already and plenty more to come. So definitely don't base it off of like one video that you've seen. But at the same time, we do want to hear from you on things like this because it is important. And it's literally our job as the community coordinators to connect the community to our colleagues at Giants. So keep bringing the feedback in a constructive way. And we're going to do everything we can to get that heard on our side, too.
Yeah, I want to emphasize that constructive part because as few people try to leave feedback in a very, very, let's downplay it a bit, in a very uncouth way. Like, right. in a way where I wonder if I would have acted like that towards my mom, that would have hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely remember that, you know, we're people too. So we're doing our best over here. Yeah. And, yeah, just, bring it in a constructive way. If you bring it with like curse words and you know, putting us down, we're going to like instantly just ignore you. So if you actually want,
I mean, ignore is too much. We still collect the feedback, but of course, you can't have a discussion with somebody who, essentially, uses every second sentence to insult either me personally or my coworkers.
Right. And, don't do that.
That's just not flying, period. That's just not flying.
But we have heard a lot of good constructive feedback, too. And
that is true.
And that's when it's more helpful, because that's what we want to hear. And then when
the
we
majority
see that,
of feedback was super was constructive. Like, even if it was like, oh, I don't like this. That's what, you know, that still works.
And, that's perfectly fine. And I've had a conversation with some people in the community about that recently. Like, listen, you like what you like. We're not asking you to say that the game is perfect or you like everything about it, because if everyone just told us that all the time, we wouldn't know what needed improving. So definitely you have a right to say, I don't like this. But do it in a way that is constructive so that we can take it and actually make it effective on our end, and we can scale it up and see what can be done about it. And like the sound improvements we were talking about earlier, that literally came from good constructive feedback from the community from 19. And now look what you have in 22, a big leap forward in the sound.
Well, less look and more listen to.
Right. Listen to what you got. Yeah.
I mean, with an audio meter, you can look at the sound, I guess, but I'd say gameplay experience wise, it would be better to listen to the sound. But that's just me. And of course, my experiences aren't universal.
We had that joke, I think, during like FarmCon, like, I want to see the sound improvements. And I'm like, well, how can you see the sound improvements? You must listen to them.
Woof.
But yeah, I think the graphics, going back to that, it's definitely, I don't understand the whole mentality. Like people have said, like, well, it looks like an old farm sim game. Like I think that everyone should be patient and try it out for yourself, because I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how overall the game has taken some steps forward and how it looks.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, it's been a little
like
bit
we're not
optimized.
Dismissive of it.
No, we're not dismissive of it. And we get, I understand why. And in fact, my opinion was that the trailer, I agreed with the statements people were making about the bright colors and things. And then we had the B-roll footage that we sent out to ambassadors and other media, and the lighting was different in it. So, you know, it just goes to show that the lighting can change from person to person, or depending on the month you're in, or because we have seasonal cycles now. So you have to take that into account as well. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. The too long didn't read version, the lighting does adjust itself to the current season and even time of day and current weather conditions.
Yeah,
in fact, that always plays a role.
I just was like going through all the different days and seasons just to see it for myself, and thought it was pretty awesome. So,
yeah, it looks pretty cool. Like, I can't wait to see what people are going to do with it. Can't it be November already?
Well, I keep telling people, and I'll say the same to you, if you can invent a 120 time scale, Chucky, you just let us know for real life, like, and
that,
we'll just speed
like
it up and get
that's like the thing for me. I don't necessarily want to play the game myself. I can play it already.
Right.
I want to see what people do with it.
Same. And that's always like, I mean, look at 19. People are still doing awesome stuff with it. Stuff that really, like, of course, we're getting some similar things repeated, but there's also still people doing mods for 19 that are coming up with new ideas. So yeah, once 22 comes out, it's just going to be amazing to see how people play it, how people mod it, and what people end up doing with it, because 19's been out for nearly 3 years now, and I've seen so much variety in the types of content that are made, and people are starting to do role play in Farm Sim more, for example, which is really cool to see.
Yes.
So
I love the role playing people.
Right. And
you know what the funniest thing is?
What?
One of our influencers told me this recently again. We got customer support requests about police gameplay.
Right, I've seen that.
People were asking, hey, how can I activate the police gameplay in Farming Simulator 19? Because they saw their favorite YouTuber doing it. And, like, they were role-playing.
It's like, you gotta love that.
That wasn't a thing that was programmed in. This was just a few people in multiplayer doing improv theater, basically. But you see, this is one of these feedbacks. We know that people would like to do that, but the thing is, we're a farming simulator, so police, firefighting, etc. is not a thing. There's games for that out there, and do a quick search. You'll be delighted.
Right. If you want to get into more, like, sandboxy type stuff like that, if you will, like, the mod community is great for stuff like that too. And by the way, on the topic of mod community, I'd like to mention that we love the mod community. There was some like rumors flying around during FarmCon and after that we're taking mods out of FS22. We're not crazy. We love our mod community and it makes the game better. So I don't know like where this rumor came from.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a few really, really weird rumors in the past week. Which were really, really delightful. Some about me personally, like how I would want to quit the company or something, which I can assure everyone, no, I'm not. I'm going to stay here around for quite some time still.
Good. I haven't bugged him enough yet, so...
Nah, it's not. Honestly, I'm a community manager for now for 7 years. Your questions are nothing to me. But looping back to modders, you know what I really love? Like right now, I love that I've seen people already starting doing mods for FS22. Like concepts, and sometimes they already basically go into the Giants editor and start, you know, essentially white boxing maps out, how they want them to look.
Right. Yeah, so I've seen a few already dope. That's like an FS22 preview, but it's done in 19, obviously, because they don't have the access yet to the new version of the modding tools and the
documentation. Can't finish them yet because, yeah, modding
but
tools aren't
there. I know, too, like there's some modders that I talk to on a regular basis, and like the wheels are spinning already, you know, like there's definitely going to be like modders are already doing cool things, but the movement forward that 22 is making, not just the sound that we've mentioned, but other things as well. Like it was talked about during FarmCon that with the seasonal cycles now built into the game, map makers will be able to basically put in a climate for the area that their map is inspired by into the map itself. So you don't need like an additional mod to change things like weather, you know, say like you create a map that I don't know. What's a good place to have a map?
Say Italy.
Say you do South Italy, for example, you can make it a
Corsica.
Little bit more warmer, or Norway or something. You know, you can put pretty brutal winters into the game.
Did you just swivel over to Norway just to spite me?
No. I just was trying to think of somewhere cold that I've seen a map for recently. So that's why I went with it. Somewhere that can be a bit colder than Italy, for example. So that's just where my mind went.
I like that you went to Norway and not Canada.
Yeah, well, you it's know, I, that would have been obvious, but I was in my brain was in Europe when you said Italy, so I couldn't switch back to North America and go north.
Mongolia.
Oh, there you go.
Very lovely country, very rich culture. Mongolian throat singing, I can recommend it. It's a lot of it on YouTube.
There he goes again. you've got the best YouTube knowledge, I swear.
Very good.
Should we talk about the season pass a bit now?
No.
No?
Let's do it. we also announced the season pass last week. And there are still some questions and confusion about that. And it's actually, I love these questions because they kind of, a lot of these highlight how different the Farm Sim community is from like regular gaming community. You know, if you ask somebody who's like into Call of Duty or whatever, they know how a season pass works. They know the basics. There's only like details that they are interested in. But because Farming Simulator is not mired in this, and we have a lot of people who like, they aren't gamers. And right. I kind of adore this because, like, just because it highlights the difference. So we had questions like, how's the season pass working? Like, my favorite question, though, was still, like, last year or 2 years ago when seasons came to FS19 and somebody asked, hey, I purchased the season pass and I didn't get the seasons mod. What gives?
Yeah,
that's not how it works. Season pass. The season pass year one for FS19. Is
22.
Already, yeah, sorry, bah. We're 40 minutes in almost, and I'm like, I'm dropping the ball here.
That's okay, we'll forgive you.
Season pass year one for FS22 is already available to pre-order. What do you get when you buy it? You get three expansion packs for Farming Simulator 22. What is in them exactly? We haven't announced yet. We have a little bit of a hint, so you get a bit of an idea what's in them. Right. And then there is one huge expansion pack in there. So actually, the nomenclature that we're using is three packs and one expansion pack.
Right. So new vehicles for your farm in pack one. This will drive you crazy in pack two. Pack three, get things done more efficiently, and then a brand new map and a plethora of machines in that large expansion, which will come out next fall. So, I mean, not only do we have seasonal cycles coming into the game, not to be confused with the season pass, but every real season coming up next year, winter, spring, summer, and fall, you'll get new content for 22 as well.
And
I would I like to point out real quick, sorry to interrupt you, but I've seen people say things like, well, I want to wait to see what is going to be released first before I commit to this. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can still buy the season pass at any time. It's not like you have to get it right now. So if you can't afford to get it right now, or you want to wait because you want to see exactly what's going to be in the first or second pack before you commit to it, don't worry. You can still get it down the road.
Yeah. SRP is €39.99. What's it that in dollars? Do you know at the top of your head?
It's like 38 something, I think, here in the U.S. Let me go look real quick and... $37.99, so basically $38.
Yeah. So, yeah, like Kermit just said, and this is actually what you interrupted me for. I wanted to say the exact same thing, and it's awesome. we have synergy. It's great. Basically, the season pass is gets you all this content discounted. We have the pre-order bonus right now going. The pre-order bonus, by the way, just for those, because this is also a question up about how long the pre-order phase for the season pass is, that ends on November 22, right, when Farming Simulator 22 is released. But even after, so like right now you'll get like a minor discount of like, I think it's €2 for us.
Right, it's a couple of dollars. Yeah,
it's not a lot, but it's a nice little thank you for trusting us right now, getting that. And even afterwards, you will pay less for the season pass than for the content that's in the season pass.
Right. I've seen some people say, like, I'll just buy one or two. If that's your plan, you might be better off just getting them individually. But if you think you want all the content, you're going to save yourself... like $21, I think it is, whatever that is for you.
Basically, if you right now at this point where you listen to this, and it is still before release of FS22 on November 22nd, if you at this point go, I want all the content for FS22, I don't care, then the season pass year one will cover everything for the year one.
Right.
What's after that? Yeah. We haven't yet announced because we're not ready to talk about that yet.
Yes, but do notice that it says year one, that's for sure.
Yes.
Because
you can guess that there will be a year two, but everything after that, I can't yet say. Like, we don't know either.
Yeah, we've not even told you what's in this first pack of. Officially yet, that news will come later on. So definitely focus on this year one season pass. But I gotta say, like, I was a fan first of Farming Simulator before Giants hired me, and I think this is a great move forward personally, because I've always been one to Farming Simulator isn't for a game for people that play the game consistently. It's not a game that you just play it one way and then you're done with it. You're constantly looking for new pieces of machinery, whether it be mods or DLC or new elements of gameplay, because like 19's been out for 3 years, for example. So you can constantly make it fresh. So this is a great way, not only for us to give more to the community, but it'll also help us to continue to give more to the community and to the players of our game. And we as a company are growing at this point. That's why I'm here. That's why my position exists. And not only here, but in Europe too, the team is really scaled. And that's why you've seen a lot of new things coming to 22. Because it takes money and manpower at the end of the day to get things done. So we're making those moves to continue to bring new awesome stuff to you, the players. I'm excited for this because I don't even know. I work for Giants. I don't even know what's going to be in the season pass. And I'm still excited. So you should be too.
Yeah. Like, of course, we have an idea. This has been already discussed, but it just hasn't come over our desks because we're not telling people yet. So it's not something that we necessarily need to know.
Right. When we have the info to share with you, we're going to be excited to share it with you. Yeah, that's for sure.
Gonna blast it all over social media. Speaking of, we should kind of, you know, come to the end because we're close to 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a fun time.
And I want to go home.
Can't blame you. I need to actually get other stuff done today. This
yes,
is like the first.
Right. You have a few meetings to do still.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we've got some stuff going on. We were kind of let's leave it with a little bit of a tease, and then I'll leave you the last word.
Sure.
So in the next few weeks, we have a thing to announce about playing with your friends, and we're giving a bit of a look into that, and you can look forward to that. And I think a few people will be very happy about what we're showing there.
Yeah, there you have it. We didn't have Leakerton with us today, so I don't know what the Chalky equivalent of that would be. but there you go, a little bit of a tease for you all, and I'm excited for this. You know, we haven't had he's maniacal laugh over there. We haven't had these podcasts in a while, but luckily we've had a lot to talk about, and there's going to be, you won't have to wait as long for the next podcast. So rest easy on that. There'll be one coming up soon. And of course, a lot more still to come with, just a couple of months to go until we get to release. So be excited, and, plenty more to come from us for 22. Keep your eye out on all our social media channels and another podcast coming soon. And who knows what else will happen down the line.
Chalky,
thanks for being here with me. It was a blast.
Wow, you didn't even comment on my pony. Yes, thank you very much for being here. It was lovely.
Bye, everyone. Have a great day. We'll catch you
next
time.
Have a great weekend, everybody, or whichever day you're listening to. Remember, Farming Simulator 22 releases on November 22nd, is currently available for pre-purchase, so check it out at your preferred retailer or store, and of course on the Farming Simulator website.
There you go.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.